This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. We shift now from high mountain forests to marshes, or what should be marshes. Most of the attention in drought stories about the Klamath Basin goes to the farmers. The Klamath Project delivered no irrigation water this year, the first time that's ever happened. But in a lot of years when water is not abundant, the wildlife refuges in the Klamath Basin, like where Lower Klamath Lake used to be, get little or no water. The refuges are way down the priority list for water. The group California Waterfowl proposes to move the Lower Klamath National Wildlife Refuge up the priority list by buying a water right. Let's hear more from California Waterfowl. Holly Heiser is the communications director of the group. Welcome, Holly.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeffrey.
Sure. Jeff Volberg is with us as well, the director of water law and policy at California Waterfowl. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Holly, let's start with the broad sketch, if you would. Give us an overview of the work of California Waterfowl.
California Waterfowl is a nonprofit conservation organization that is funded primarily by waterfowl hunters. We do an incredible amount of conservation work, restoring and rehabilitating habitat. We also do education. We take programs to school children to teach them about the importance of wetlands with the hopes that they'll grow up and be invested in it and want to take care of it when they become adults who are in charge of things. So we do quite broad-based work, and obviously a key thing we do is advocacy, and Jeff Volberg is a huge part of that, advocating for water for waterfowl, because obviously wetlands need water to be useful.
So, Jeff, there are lots of refuges in California, obviously. I mean, it's a big state, lots of places for waterfowl to hang out. Is the Klamath region high up on the list of concerns, though?
Yes, the Klamath region is probably the most important waterfowl refuge area in the state. It's a major stopping point on the Pacific Flyway for birds that are flying south from Alaska and Canada in the spring or in the fall and then flying north again in the spring. They stop off at the Klamath Refuge Complex and feed on whatever's available. The problem is, without water, they have to fly right on by, and they're not in the body condition that they should be when they reach the California Central Valley. Also, in the summertime, a lot of the resident birds that stay in the Central Valley will fly up to the Klamath region to what they call molt, which is where they replace their flight feathers, and they lose their feathers and their ability to fly for about 6 weeks every summer, and have to replace those feathers. Again, without water or with too little water, they're exposed to disease outbreaks.
How significant has the effect already been of the water usage in the Klamath Basin? Now, when you look at the original size of Lower Klamath Lake and the original size of Tule Lake, these were vast marshy areas that have been reduced to farmland with a couple of places for water here and there when it's available.
Go ahead, Holly.
Okay, well, I think we've seen huge impacts on usage by migrating waterfowl during the fall. The population counts keep dropping more and more every year. And, you know, the situation for migrating waterfowl, it's hard to overstate the importance of this stopover point for them, because some of them go 3,600 miles from Wrangell Island, Russia, all the way down to the Salton Sea or even farther south into Mexico. And the Klamath Basin is like the only city on a 3,000-mile highway. There may be other places where you can stop and gas up and get food, but this is the only place that can really accommodate millions of visitors, and it's just not there for them. And so they continue flying on. And in the valley, we don't generally prepare for them until later in the fall. And this year, we don't even have enough water for our fall flood up, much less for early flood up to actually help them when they have to migrate south even earlier than they usually do, when they aren't able to stop here. So that's a tremendous impact. And the impact on molting birds was horrific last year. We had 60,000 ducks, geese, and shorebirds die in a botulism outbreak that was primarily centered at Tule Lake National Wildlife Refuge, and a lack of water concentrates them and exacerbates that. So it's a huge impact on the population, and, you know, not to mention ducklings. Ducks go out, make nests. The ducks hatch, the mamas take them to water, and then the water starts disappearing before the ducklings can fly and find another place to go. So the impact has been really dire, And more importantly, it's dire every year. It's especially bad this year, but the problem never goes away for Klamath because of where it is in the priority list for water.
Which is why we are talking. Holly Heiser is Communications Director at California Waterfowl. Jeff Volberg is the group's Director of Water Law and Policy. And we are talking about strategies for buying a water right for the Lower Klamath National Wildlife Refuge. You can join us on the exchange in this discussion at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jeff Volberg, if you would, talk about the approaches the group has taken up to this point in securing water rights. Is this something you have done before?
Securing water rights, we have not done before. This is new to us. It's not a new concept. A good example would be Trout Unlimited has acquired some water rights to leave water in stream to go down the Klamath River for the protection of endangered salmon species. But for us, it's new. We were approached, or actually the refuge was approached, the federal government, with an offer to purchase water rights above Upper Klamath Lake. And the advantage of this is that that water was not otherwise available to the irrigators in the Klamath Project, so it doesn't take anything away from them. It adds additional water to the Klamath system rather than taking water away from the farmers. And so we thought that was a very good deal. The problem is that the government's wheels grind very, very, very slow. And so we did a fundraising campaign to come up with the money to make an initial purchase of a small amount of water comparatively. That would ultimately lead to the purchase of a permanent water right of about 30,000 acre feet, which would be about a third of what the Lower Klamath Refuge needs. But it would be a very reliable supply. These are very ancient and reliable water rights. So this is new to us, but we've had a tremendous success in fundraising, and we're currently waiting for the state of Oregon to issue a water rights transfer permit.
Any complexity with the fact that we're talking about a water right that you apparently have to secure through the state of Oregon that ends up being exercised in California?
Amazingly, not really. It hasn't been that complex. The water rights on the refuge, even though they're located in California, have always been for Oregon water and have been Oregon water rights. It's an odd anomaly, but it's really not all that complicated, thank God.
But what you're talking about here then is essentially that California Waterfowl makes the deal to get the water right. Does it stay in the name of California Waterfowl? Do you transfer that water right to the National Wildlife Refuge?
No, we keep it until it is effectively bought back from us by the federal government. Mm-hmm. And so that's the other thing that we're doing is we're advocating for the federal government to include the amount of money necessary to buy that water right from us, but that will take years the way Congress maneuvers. It's really not, for the federal government, it's really not that much money. For a nonprofit, it's an enormous amount of money, and ultimately we're going to need the federal government to step up and purchase that water right because the benefit is to the federal government. But for the time being, it's California Waterfowl's members and donors who have stepped up to put up the money to start the process.
Now, I noticed that
Jeffrey, can I jump in
quick?
Yeah. I think it's really important to talk about how much our people have stepped up. We have raised this year, in just a few short months, over $730,000 from our supporters. And some of these folks are part of our donor circle already, and some of them are completely new to us. But the severity of the problem and their interest in our bold solution for this problem, a really big deal for us, has prompted them to give extremely generously. And I say that not just to highlight their generosity, which of course we appreciate, but to highlight how serious it is that people would write checks for $10,000 and $20,000 and $50,000 to say, let's get this problem solved, enough already.
Does the $730,000 represent the full amount needed, or is the water right cost higher than that still?
Oh, it's definitely higher than that, but that's enough to get us in our first year of the purchase agreement. It's a multi-year purchase agreement. So basically what that does is it gives us the ability to act now instead of waiting for the federal government to come through. And as Jeff said, you know, that can take a while. That's a longer process. So this gives us the ability to act quickly.
Have you mentioned a total price tag yet? I haven't heard it.
The total price tag for 30,000 acre feet permanent transfer would be somewhere in the vicinity of $50 to $60 million. What we're doing is starting with 4,500 acre feet and purchasing it over a period of time. The total for that would be around $9 million, and that's what we've agreed to ultimately come up with if the federal government doesn't step in. So we're in the process of raising $9 million and also working very hard to make sure that the federal government does its part.
Yeah, once you say $50 to $60 million, it becomes clear this is not something any nonprofit group that I'm aware of can really kind of handle just and go, okay, let's do this. And off we go.
So the group many times our annual budget.
Yes, okay. California Waterfowl, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, and the persons of Holly Heiser, Communications Director, and Jeff Volberg, Director of Water Law and Policy. And we're talking about a plan to buy a water right that would be guaranteed, well, that would put the Klamath Basin, Lower Klamath National Wildlife Refuge on the list anyway. We'll explore what that means in the minutes ahead. And you can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. First, on the outgoing end, so does this retire a water right for a ranch? Does this ranch no longer have a water right if this all goes through?
Yes, that's correct. This ranch is a ranch where they've been irrigating pasture for cattle for many years, many years, and it would basically they would be giving up the irrigated side of the pasture, so it would decrease the number of cattle they're going to be able to raise on that ranch. And what they're hoping to do is buy additional ranches, transfer those water rights and have one larger ranch that would carry the same amount of cattle that would be carried on the irrigated ranch, but would just be spread over much larger amount of land.
So there could be, this could be a triggering event for more land or water right acquisitions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So in a year like this one, though, Jeff, would it make a difference? I mean, given the general level of priority and the lack of water, I mean, in this year, for example, would that water right be delivered to the Lower Klamath National Wildlife Refuge?
Yes, it would be. The only real complexity would be if the Klamath tribes. They have a water right for time immemorial, and they can claim a certain portion of that water right for a period of time in order to make sure that the water is available for the endangered suckers in Upper Klamath Lake. Up until now, they have not, in most years, had to claim that water because it's so old. It's the next oldest water right after the Klamath Tribe's water right. So this is actually a water right that would be secure in almost all year types. This year, 2021, is probably the worst drought ever since the turn of the 20th century. It is the driest it's ever been, and it's the first time that the Klamath Project has been shut off, the irrigation project. This is a really extreme drought.
Mm-hmm. So where do things stand? As of June 2nd, you had opened escrow and were working with some approvals of the Oregon Water Resources Department. I imagine a few things, well, not necessarily. I know how hard a real estate operation can be, and this is much more than that. So where do things stand at the moment, Jeff?
Well, where they stand at the moment is that we have applied for a water transfer permit from the state of Oregon. We're waiting for that permit to be approved. The other thing that we need to do is to convince the Bureau of Reclamation to open the headgates of the 80 Canal to let the water actually flow to the refuge, and we're in negotiations of that.
All right, I was going to ask you how that physically works. So there would have to be some water let. We're talking about the canal, the A Canal gate that's so famous this year?
No, we're not talking the A Canal. That's out of Upper Klamath Lake, and that delivers water to the Klamath Project, the irrigators. This would be what's called the 80 Canal, and it's actually a canal that comes out of the Klamath River closer to the California border. And it's shut right now, but we would ask them to open that canal head gate and let that water go through. And we're in negotiations and discussions with the Bureau of Reclamation at this time.
So, Holly Heiser, put this in context for the long-term vision of California waterfowl. I mean, does this appear, if you haven't done this before and it goes off successfully, are we talking potentially much more of this in the future? And, wow, is your development director feeling stressed these days?
Well, with COVID, yes, absolutely feeling stressed. I don't know that this is the model we are going to do for everything because we cover a really broad area, the entire state, but it's obviously a vital solution for Klamath and the Klamath Basin. And Klamath is so critical to the birds that work through the entire state. You can literally see maps from data from researchers who band waterfowl. And birds that go through Klamath just end up all over the state and all over the country and in Mexico and in Russia. And so this one gets a disproportionate amount of attention for this relatively small amount of space because it is so critical. It is used by so many. This isn't, I don't think, going forward, our model of saving everything, but it's vital for saving this refuge, and this refuge needs to be saved. We can't let it go. You know, I don't think, you know, if someone wanted to pave over this refuge, we would fight that tooth and nail, and no one's talking about paving it, but when you take the water away, you might as well pave it. So it's definitely a top priority.
So would the water right cover the entire Lower Klamath Wildlife Refuge or just some units within it?
If this water comes, and we are so hopeful that it will come soon, it would basically help fill Unit 2. And Unit 2 is one of the last units to have water. And that water started going down in June this year. So Unit 2 is drying up. And, of course, that's a problem for baby ducks who can't fly yet. And one of the things that would do this year, obviously, 4,500 acre feet. The refuge needs, on average, about 100,000 acre feet. So it's a drop in the bucket. But in a year like this, it's a drop that actually helps quite a bit because, as I mentioned, you know, botulism is a huge issue at the Tule Lake Refuge.
Right.
Lower Klamath is a little bit better off, but so if we have water in Lower Klamath, that's another place that birds can go when they're molting to stay safe from botulism.
Okay, it is time to go. Holly Heiser, Jeff Volberg from California Waterfowl, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. Best of luck.